What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Heel of the Ring. It is the NXT WWE Final Premium Live Event of the year, and it comes at the NXT brand. It is Deadline, the Iron Survivor match. We are going to break this down in this video. My God, one of the best premium live events NXT put on. I mean, No Mercy was right there with it. I'll give you my critiques or what I didn't like of the pay-per-view, as well as what I loved and enjoyed. This came from Bridgeport, Connecticut, of course, in the headquarters of the WWE. You know that. Man, let's get right into it, man. We kick off the night with the kickoff show, and what a kickoff show it was, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, we started off with Axiom taking on Nathan Frazier, in a match we've seen before plenty of time, but there's something different in this match. There's a story to be told with Nathan Frazier. I don't know if they're contemplating or teasing a Nathan Frazier heel turn. I love to see what's developing weeks to come on NXT. I want to see what's going on with Nathan Frazier. But these two guys, the way they normally know how to do, I mean, they started off hot. They got the crowd invested. I think, what was it, 45 seconds to a minute in, we already had the crowd in Bridgeport, Connecticut chanting NXT. I mean, you see that only here in Orlando at the Performance Center when, you know, the admiration that we have for all the performers here and the connect that we have for them. And to see that in Connecticut from a crowd that's getting the NXT brand there, and they're already acknowledging and getting excited. The atmosphere for that event, for Deadline, was phenomenal. And kudos to these two gentlemen, Axiom and Nathan Frazier, to start it off. And my goodness, and what a kickoff. I mean, you had the back and forth, you know, the quick pace that only a Nathan Frazier knows how to do, and also an Axiom high flying spot, the super kicks, the false finishes. Nathan Frazier at time acting a little too cocky, you know, for his own good, like he's got it. And then just that one slip up, and Axiom taking advantage of those slip ups there in the rope. At the end, you saw Axiom hit an amazing Spanish fly off the top ropes for the victory over Nathan Frazier. Now the storyline is, where does Frazier go? You know, we saw him had that match with Ilya Dragunov and totally got abysmal. And now what's, you know, they're teasing a Nathan Frazier heel turn. Remember, Nathan Frazier is a protege of Seth freaking Rollins in his wrestling school in Iowa. Nathan Frazier, I watched him personally at the Performance Center. I love his in-ring. I think he is so agile, so quick. Just a promo, which you could say that about everyone in NXT. You know, they just got to continue working on their promo. You know, get us invested. Tell me, who is Nathan Frazier? I know he tried with the Nathan Frazier talk show, but I like him coming out like a flash. But let's see what happens now, what he goes in a heel. Maybe they unlock something as a heel Nathan Frazier, where I think in 2024 he's going to get over. I wouldn't be surprised if I see a Nathan Frazier winning the North American title in the middle of the year. He looks like he checks the box to me, or even be in the world title picture, because he does check that box. And I think there is a major, massive ceiling when it comes to Nathan Frazier, in my opinion, in the NXT brand. So you know what? It's all not just about Nathan Frazier. I got to give kudos to Axiom, which he's been rumored that he will be possibly joining and heading to the main roster on SmackDown. But for the former A-Kid, now Axiom in NXT, other than collecting NXT titles, he has done a lot. He has also improved. His matches, I'm going to be totally transparent, honest. When Axiom first burst on the scene, when he started a little level up, I wasn't a big fan. I found the gimmick to Power Ranger-y, But then I had to take a step back. I'm going to be totally admitting it on the air. I had to take a step back and say, you know what? This is a variety show. It's not about pleasing me. There's also young kids that go to the Performance Center that watches the NXT brand. The masked wrestler, kind of like a Power Ranger superhero, his entrance of a superhero, it touches everyone. It's meant for the young audience as well. I put my dent because I had to realize myself when I was a young audience, who did I like? Who was my heroes? Hulk Hogan, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, the faces, Axiom kicks those boxes. I remember the Hulkamaniacs who didn't want to say their prayers, eat their vitamins, and believe in themselves. You know, if you're from my generation, from the golden era of wrestling, you tend to see what Nathan Frazier and an Axiom is doing to the young kids now. And I took a step back and I got to admit, I changed my mindset and open mind towards Axiom. And I really am enjoying, I really am cheering him on. I want him to make a big splash on SmackDown and continue to just put the skyrocket on him, put those great luchador matches, that luchador style is something different that WWE is showing us, showcasing, although there's always been the luchadors in the WWE, but under Vince, not much magnifying. You know, Rey Mysterio broke that barrier. We know about that. But now you can see the emergence of not just Rey, his son Dom. You had the Lucha Brothers. You had so many other different luchadors that have come and gone through the WWE. Now is the time where they're showing us the luchadors, and this is where an A-Kid, aka Axiom, fits. And what a kickoff. I spent enough time on that kickoff. It was just phenomenal with these two athletes. They've done this match before, and believe me, they had better matches, believe it or not. And this was phenomenal. This was a phenomenal match, and they have had even greater matches before. So, my God, if you're listening to me, go out and seek out Nathan Frazier Axiom matches at the Performance Center on NXT. Those were some bangers. So we get the pay-per-view kicking off, and in not weird fashion, because when we go to the NXT on the Performance Center, we rarely see Michael Hickenbaum, aka the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, ever come out. You know, just I believe that time when Von Wagner got hit with the stairs, you saw him come out, but you rarely don't see Shawn Michaels rarely come out. But he comes out here in this premium live event, the Sexy Boy, of course. Whenever you see Shawn Michaels, no matter what, if you're an old-timer, you always love to see him, regardless of how he looks or not. It's always good to see Shawn Michaels. He welcomes everyone to Deadline, and out comes CM Punk. Oh, man. Talk about excitement, because, listen, anyone who bought those tickets to that NXT Deadline, they no way in the world tell me they were expecting CM Punk to even be there. And then to come out in the middle of the ring with Shawn Michaels. Of course, I love what CM Punk comes out with, a hoodie, the Bret the Hitman Hart hoodie. I don't know if that was done on purpose, taking, comedic way and part of a rip for Shawn Michaels, or Shawn Michaels, yeah, let's go with it, let's rip. Because Shawn Michaels also, he knows about business. And I know when he came in the ring, he goes, interesting choice of merchandise. I know Punk says, I forgot my HBK merchandise. Hey, you made up with Brett. I made up with Hunter. And I love that they went that back and forth, but I do want to make my first criticism of the night. I don't know if that was on purpose by Triple H sending Punk out, but it kind of derailed what Shawn Michaels was ready to go. Let's get ready. I guess it was let's get ready to suck it. I don't know if he was going to do his normal DX entrance. Then Punk, it kind of derailed him because he felt a little confused. It looked a little wanky. CM Punk got on the microphone, talked about he has to make a big decision. He was on SmackDown. He'll be on tonight on Monday Night Raw as I'm recording this video here. It is Monday, right before Monday Night Raw, a couple hours away. And he asked now the NXT universe, would you like me to sign with NXT? Possibly. And of course, kudos to everyone in Bridgeport, Connecticut. They were like, NXT, let's go, let's sign. Interesting. We all know Punk is not signing with the NXT brand. Will he make an appearance at the NXT Performance Center? I could see that. I could see him coming out maybe tomorrow or Wednesday. It's double taping at the NXT Performance Center or New Year's Evil. I could see Punk because strike while the iron is hot when it comes to CM Punk, in my opinion. And I think Punk, I could see him at the NXT Performance Center in Orlando as some, not a wrestling match, cut a promo, talk, you know, put over Cora, put over, you know, Cora, and we see that later on. They have a nice exchange. We'll get to that soon. And I can see Punk going from there. We'll see there. And then Punk was going to cut more time, and they play the music, interrupt, which even Shawn Michaels looked back like, what's going on? That was a little wonky, and I don't kind, and that's twice on Punk. Don't poke the bear on Punk. He's behaving. He's tame. Don't start cutting his microphone or playing those kind of stupid games with him, because if the guy goes nuclear or he goes, I know he has a behavior clause in his contract, but come on, right now you guys are doing some good business. He has six figures in merchandise immediately within a week in the WWE. The guy moves the needle. Don't poke the bear. Play everyone. Let's play nice. Although maybe that was a joke or whatever it was, it kind of did not look good. At least from watching it at home, it did not look good. It looked like, you know, it looked like WWE rarely do those kind of production errors. And that was a weird one. But They finished with that there with the nostalgia return, and then we get into the first match of the night, a real good one. It's for the North American title. It is none other than the champion Dirty Dom Dominic Mysterio taking on Dragon Lee. Now it was supposed to be Wesley who was supposed to wrestle, as he won the number one contenders match against the former North American champions prior to the deadline. We found out last Tuesday Wesley had not continue wrestling because he has a back issue where he has no feeling in his legs. He requires surgery in his back. He'll be out for 12 months. And Dominic Mysterio thought he was going to get the night off, wasn't going to defend his North American title, close out the year, still North American champion, and waiting for the next number one contender that NXT will look for. And right before he got, remember, as we saw the promo, we saw Rey Mysterio declare Dragon Lee, and just like Rey Mysterio promised, he was there in person. We saw him in his crutches, came down to the ringside alongside the commentary team. Rey Mysterio was on commentary, and this match was another one that if you thought the Nathan Frazier and Axiom was really good, this started as well also. It started a little slow, of course, because it's like a roller coaster. I got to give Dominic Mysterio and Dragon Lee a lot of kudos because they took us on an emotional roller coaster. You know how when you get on a roller coaster, it starts ascending, and you know that the aphora or the drop is coming soon, and that's what they did. They told a story. They gave us that story of a slow build, and then once it got to the peak of the match, it just went. That wrestling luchador style, I got to give Dominic Mysterio a lot of credit. The way he is wrestling with his luchador style, keeping up the pace, because Dragon Lee is a seasoned luchador. He is a seasoned luchador. Of course, we've seen him before outside of WWE. This is not his first rodeo, and Dragon Lee continues to emerge each and every week as he gets more WWE reps in the WWE system. More and more, he looks more like a WWE superstar that's going to have longevity in the WWE. You always said about the masked men, don't make too much hay in the WWE or might not have longevity. Well, I could say this with Dragon Lee, there's a lot of longevity that he fits the bill. I love that. The climax of the match was fast. It gave you what a premium live event was supposed to give you. I love the fact that Dominic Mysterio finally executed a Three Amigos suplex. You know, even though on the second one, there was a little back and forth of who's going to suplex who, but he executed a Three Amigos suplex, taunting his father on the outside of the ring, where only Dominic Mysterio knows how to do. But then, there's some good spots where you saw Dragon Lee hit the coup de grace or the Tree of Worlds right into the stomach of Dominic Mysterio in a spot on the floor. They both ended up on the floor. And there were so many good spots here, where especially Dominic was trying to hit the 619, mocking his father. All in all, we get Dragon Lee with a phenomenal move and becomes and the new North American champion. He gets the pin on Dirty Dom. Later in the evening, we see Dermot Dom. They cut a promo with Dominic Mysterio saying, where was the Judgment Day? Where was Finn? Where was Mommy? Where was Day-D? Where he was alone. And I don't know if they're teasing a dissension or a split of the Judgment Day. Maybe Dominic Mysterio will go with Santo Escobar and form their own alliance. Only time will tell. They're planting seeds there because we see that later on in the evening. But for Dragon Lee, he holds the title. He takes the title. He brings it over to Rey Mysterio Jr. And that embrace and that hug. And, of course, he says, tú eres, and in Spanish, he says, tú eres el futuro de la lucha libre. You are the future of the wrestling, of the lucha libre style wrestling. You know, I'm proud of you, in Spanish. And of course, that wonderful embrace between those two. Phenomenal. Good nostalgic moment for Dragon Lee. We all knew Dragon Lee had many offers to go to different federations. He was in AEW for a bit. Of course, you saw what they did with Rush and his brother. His brother Rush and Andrade, and they embarrassed him. They took his luchador mask out, and before he left, he was leaving. He was going to sign with WWE. That was part of the storyline. He could have went anywhere. CML, MLW. He could have went to Impact. He chose the NXT, and now, what is it? Not even a year, he's already a part of the SmackDown brand, North American champion, plus wrestling in the United States tournament, and we got breaking news on that later on in this program. So we get into this next contest, and to me, ladies and gentlemen, this was my favorite match of the whole card. They gave us the Women Iron Survivor Challenge. Of course, we know all the competitors. Of course, you have Fallon Henley, Kiana Jane Jordan. You have Blair Davenport. We have Tiffany Stratton, and of course, Lash Legend. We started off, of course, with Fallon and Blair Davenport. Those two ladies went at it, you know, only, and I want to give Fallon her flowers. Fallon Henley, 2023, and not just her, pretty much, you could say all these ladies in this Iron Survivor Challenge, they all, there's well deserved to be in this challenge. And I think they got rewarded for the work they've done all year in NXT. Fallon, in ring ability on the microphone, her presentation has gone from leaps and bounds from a year ago. You know, I've been going out for about almost 2 years to NXT. When they were just on that 2.0 with the neon, with the paint splash, that's when I started watching and Stand and Deliver. And Fallon Henley was another one, just like Axiom. Didn't kind of feel them. I didn't connect with. But these past, since Halloween Havoc, or maybe even further, I've had such a respect for Fallon Henley because of her in work, the promo, and her feud with Kiana James. I think that's where the light bulb changed or turned on for Fallon Henley to capture or captivate me to want to watch and appreciate what she does in ring. I mean, phenomenal job, Fallon Henley. I hope she one day opportunity gets to hold the women's title. Even if it's a short reign, I hope she gets to hold the women's title and feel that hardware, because I think she's really putting in that good work. I'm young lady doing phenomenal work. And of course, Blair Davenport, of course, they call her the resident witch. Another phenomenal job. We saw her Worlds Collide in that triple threat with Mandy Rose and Mika Sakamoto, and she just fell short, but she is a villain of the villain. When you talk about a female heel who will get the heat, doesn't care if you cheer her or dislike her, because that's where her character role and character development is. She fits the box. Now, I know she needs a mouthpiece or maybe some little more extra promo help, but that comes with rep, I think. But man, she could be such a heel. If they were to call her the main roster, depending on if she could get like a Paul Heyman or a manager that could just wreak havoc for her, she is a real pain who could be in that main title picture, even in the main roster. And she just was opportunistic all through the Iron Survivor Challenge, getting some pins while other ladies were doing the hard work. Then, of course, the third entry to the match, of the Iron Survivor was Tiffany Stratton. Of course, Tiffy Top, former NXT Women's Champion. Oh boy, she put on a display coming out there, moonsaults, just up and down with her. Tiffany, again, the woman's title, I think she's above that. I think she's so polished. She's ready to go to the main roster. She's ready to go to the main roster, make some noise there, beat up on some women there, and possibly have that dream matchup that she wants against Charlotte Flair. But, of course, we'll get to Charlotte at the end of the video as well. But for Tiffany, she's ready. And she looked the part. She did with her moonsaults, with her in-ring, you know, the stomps on the chest on the ladies, and safe work too, because those stomps, you could really go wrong and really could put some damage on the ladies. And man, she is working. She worked her butt off, and not only she worked in her in-ring performance, but that display that she gave us on Saturday night, she was just up and down phenomenal. And of course, and I wanted to give shout out to Henley, where she hit a phenomenal shining wizard and got a pin that I believe sent Tiffany to the penalty box. Oof, what a shining wizard she delivered there. Then out comes Kalani Jordan, and Kalani, you could tell the young up and comer. She is, you know, and like they say, piss and vinegar for the men. She is full of heart, desire, and will. Because the moonsaults, she got a pin on in a 450 splash. My God, she got a hell of a pinfall there. In the ring, she actually gave a shout out to the MVP. She did MVP. She did it. He did his finishing move and got a pin there. She was just electric. I could see why the women's division NXT is stacked. And Kalani Jordan, who was just so close to winning the women's breakout in the tournament, got the Iron Survivor nod, not winning the tournament, but got the nod, and she did not let down whatsoever. She was another one who put on a clinic using her gymnastic background there to do some phenomenal moves there, and with the salt. And my God, I at this point, you're like, you don't know who the hell to root for. You were like, I was invested, waiting to see. You know what? Whoever wins this match, Iron Survivor, whichever lady is the Iron Survivor, it doesn't fall short. And I didn't even talk about the final contestant in Lash Legend. Now, Lash Legend comes out, and I said, finally, as you can see behind me, you see the highlights. She comes out like the big, tough baddie that she is. She finally utilizes her strength. She finally utilizes her power, her strength, and she displayed it immediately with some vicious choke slams, power bombs, pinning two ladies at one time, getting two falls in one. And she just was a powerhouse. She caught a pin right before around the 23-minute mark. And, of course, if you get pinned, you have to be in the penalty box for 90 seconds. She was leading the leaderboard, and, of course, Blair Davenport tied it. And then Tiffany Stratton was about to hit and got a moonsault, about to hit and tie it at all. Three ladies would have had three apiece. And Blair Davenport was very opportunistic, rolled Tiffany out of the ring, got the final pin as Last Legend comes out of the penalty box with like 5 seconds left, chasing around it because she could not pin Tiffany because Tiffany was already pinned. She had to be at the penalty box. Only one left was Blair, and Blair put on her bike and ran. Miss Last Legend fell out of time at the end of the 25-minute mark with the most pinfall wins, and your Iron Survivor challenge is Blair Davenport. I loved it because she stole it, and remember I mentioned she is a classic heel where you're despising her. You want her. You are not supposed to enjoy or be any happy for Blair Davenport to win, and she did exactly what she wanted. You were a despicable way of stealing the Iron Survivor Challenge, and now she has the claim to stake to have a match with the NXT Women's Champion, Lyra Valkyria, at New Year's Eve, where she calls Lyra out. And, of course, I got you. Lyra, of course, listens to the back, comes out, shows her NXT title, and then out of nowhere, boom, she gets attacked from behind. The returning of Cora Jade has returned Cora Jade looking phenomenal. Attacks her, raises the woman NXT title. Looks like she's also wants to come for the women's NXT title. And of course, they cut away from that. Great to see Cora Jade. I know Cora Jade is a major player when it comes to the women's division. And of course, Kelly Kincaid tried to have a conversation with her in the back. That interview didn't go well. They tried it later on in the evening. And of course, we'll get to that on a digital exclusive. But I just wanted to highlight a spot of this women's match that I did not give any flowers to was Tiffany Stratton with a moonsault off the penalty box. Of course, Noam Dar and Oro Mensah came out. They were trying to run interference and keep the cage door closed. Where in that case, where Tiffany throws Fallon Henley off onto the announce table, and then she moonsaults off the top rope onto Metaphor. And my God, in a spot where that's why Tiffany, I said, could have been easily an MVP of this match. And Fallon Henley for taking that bump there on the table, going through the table, on the announce table. And of course, Lash Legend just looked dominant. All the ladies, Kalani Jordan, all the ladies, this was a banger. This was, if you're into that star system, and I didn't give a star for the month for the North American title match or none of these matches, but this one was a watch over again matchup. If you haven't watched the highlights, please do, because my words are not giving it no justice to how great and how wonderful these ladies put on that match. Just the moonsault. And even Jordan, Kalani Jordan took a spot there that she hit, and she took a bump on the side of her ribs on the announce table. But she just all to get the oohs and ahs of us and entertaining us. What these ladies put themselves out to give us to get a ooh and ah from us, the consumers. I respect every one of those women that were in that match, that they just put themselves, their bodies on the line. And man, they really wanted that Iron Survivor Challenge. And kudos, man. I wish all the ladies would get a title shot individually because they deserved it. Again, neither one that would have came out victorious. You cannot not say that they, you know, it was a bad decision. It was a tough booking there. I feel for whoever had to make that decision, HBK and Sean, HBK, Shawn Michaels, and Triple H or Regal, whoever makes the decision in the NXT, who gets the wins and losses, man, that was a tough one. Who was going to come on top for the Iron Survivor Challenge? We get a grudge match here, or we think it is. It's Carmelo Hayes versus Lexi King. Lexi King, formerly known as Brian Pillman Jr., making his first premium live event match. And for Lexi King, I love the presentation with him. You know he could go. You know he's a seasoned wrestler who has wrestled before in front of, you know, similar crowds to what NXT had on Saturday night. I think there were like close to 5,500 filled arena there. So nothing new to Lexi King. Nothing. The lights were not going to be too bright for him. But he's facing against him, who is Carmelo Hayes. Now, Carmelo Hayes, of course, the storyline of this match, Lexi King being accused of attacking Trick Williams, costing Trick Williams that fatal four-way opportunity at the world title and injuring him. And of course, now there's a back and forth that Lexi got text by Melo to take out Trick. But now he says, no, I'm going to prove it to you, Trick, that I'm going to settle. I'm going to beat his butt in the ring and to show you that I wasn't the one who texted him. So this match started off a little wanky. You could tell that this is their first time with these two guys in the ring. There was a little bit of chemistry issue off a little bit, but they still managed to, despite being off, put on a storytelling match here where Carmelo Hayes continued to use his athleticism and continue to use what makes him him. You know, the off the springboard. Even Pillman or Lexi King managed to stay with him and continue to show that he has the same athletic style, although that they were contrast at times. And of course, it was the lack of reps. And I say it time and time again. I know there's been reports that TKO wants to cut down on the house shows for the WWE. They're not profitable. House shows are very important. And that's another whole situation. But because you could tell when you go to these premium live event, you don't want to have a clunky match the way Hayes and King had on Saturday. You want it to be crisp. You want it to be clean. You want it to be fast. You want it to be exciting. And this was, it had its moments, but there was parts of the match that you could see it was a little, they're off. The timing is off. The chemistry was a little off. When I want to give them credit, they did not prolong it. They got to it. They knew that they, you know, okay, we knew we got a story to tell. It wasn't the crispest. It wasn't the sharpest. All right, let's tell it. Let's end it. Let's get to the conclusion where we get Carmelo Hayes get the pins Alexi King. Although, you know, you could say, what was the booking there? What was the point of having them pin Alexi King in his first match? There's a story to be told. At the end of the match, you see Melo leaving the ring. Alexi King with a microphone in hand, cutting a promo, says, I didn't hurt Trick Williams. I just said those things. I made it seem like that because I wanted to have a match in this premium live event with you. So he just wanted to get on the card by hook or crook. He wanted to have his own a match finally. And by lying or saying he did and then confessing he didn't, now it leaves the storyline open. Who really hurt it? Trick Williams. Who injured Trick? Was it now? It leaves you to think, was it Carmelo Hayes again? So they're telling a story here, long-term storybooking. The match, it wasn't the best. It wasn't the crisp. It wasn't the sharpest. And again, it's the lack of chemistry, the lack of reps that they had with one another. Maybe they didn't have enough time or worked with one another in the performance center before the NXT tapings. We know that they do house shows on the weekends, travel up and down the East and West Coast of Florida. So I don't know if they had those matches there at the house shows, but it's important. That's why the house shows are very important. You could tell there was a lack of chemistry with these two gentlemen there. So this one, not a great match. It was a good match. It was a good, decent match because at the end of the day, it told us that story. See what the big payoff was? That story that was told. Of course, and nothing against the performers. It just, you could tell the chemistry was off. Melo, phenomenal with the leg drop. Melo don't miss. And Alexi King, you could tell, you know, he's a seasoned. So again, it's not crapping on them. It's not being negative on these two. They just didn't have the chemistry that night. It could have been an off night. Yeah, maybe if they run this match back, they'll put on a banger that we're like, oh, damn, where was this at? I could see that in the near future. They'll get back in the ring and they'll steal the show. They'll be the box. They'll steal it. They'll steal all the tickets because they have that kind of potential. But Saturday night wasn't their night. So we'll move on here. We get the Men's Iron Survivor Challenge. This one was different. Going into it, I do the watch alongs and I was asking the gentlemen that joined me, who do you think is going to win and why? And, you know, everyone pretty much enjoys Trick Williams. You know, Trick Williams was the favorite in this. Tyler Bates, who won that last chance. Josh Briggs, who got his first opportunity here in the Iron Survivor Challenge. Dijak, he's trying to move around and do different things. And of course, the former NXT World Champion, Bron Breakker. But of course, you start off with the two behemoths. You have Briggs and Dijak. And my God, those two guys. You know, I'm not a big Dijak fan. And Briggs, I see a lot of JBL in Briggs. I know he got a pinfall with a clothesline from hell. But those two guys to start it off, I know it started a little slow, but it escalated quickly. They were going back and forth like two big men do, getting the crowd oohs and ahs, like, you know, let's go. You know, I guess they're the tall men. Not the big man slappy meat type, but they were the big guys going at it. Then, ironically, Tyler Bates will be the third man in, and Tyler Bates put on a show. You know, there is a reason why he is nicknamed the Big Strong Boy, coming in there with the suplex. He airplane spin Briggs. I mean, the way he just comes in there and just airplane spins and picks up these big behemoths. Tyler Bates, I know, don't get fooled with his stature, but that dude, there's a reason why Triple H and William Regal loved him and made him the inaugural UK NXT champion because he ticks the box, man. This dude, you can't go wrong with Tyler Bates. You could. It's a. That's a perfect baby face if you ever thought of one. And well, it's interesting to see where they go with that. There's been rumors for him going to the main roster to SmackDown, helping out Pete Dunne, Butch, where Holland now turning heel or walking away from the Brawling Brutes. It'd be interesting to see if Tyler Bate gets called up as well. But Tyler Bates looked phenomenal there, third entry in. Then the fourth entry, of course, everyone's favorite, Trick Williams comes out. And Trick comes out like a bat out of hell. It looks, I mean, he just came in and started whipping Tricks. I mean, he caught one, a move on Dijak coming off the top ropes. He uses the other, this Josh Briggs and just clotheslined him. I'm like, ho, and gets the pin on Dijak. Trick is like, yo, let's go. A near fall, excuse me. He didn't get the pin on him because he got the near fall. They kept interrupting on Trick Williams. And back and forth we go. And then the final entry was Bron Breakker. Now, Bron Breakker screamed last on this Iron Survivor, it is time to move me up to the main roster. Please move me to the main roster because I am just going to annihilate the competition in NXT. And be honest with you, Bron has nothing really to prove in NXT anymore. He's been the former two-time world champion. The way he presents himself as a badass, and he's getting better on the microphone. He's only 25 years old, ladies and gentlemen. He comes in, as you see the promo there. He hits a spear on Briggs. He gets a pin, and he goes to the penalty box. He picks up three quick pins. Tyler Bates goes to the springboard clothesline, and he gets speared. And he gets the pin, sends him to the... He sent three guys into the penalty box. And then he gets Dijak coming off the top ropes, and he just levels him. I mean, Bron just... I mean, and he's not just one-dimensional. You guys, well, he's just a spear machine. He has a... He actually put the Steiner recliner. He also has the jackhammer suplex. The dude hit a Frankensteiner from the top rope. Of course, classic Uncle Scott Steiner moves. But you know what? If he's executing it at a level of perfection, so what? Everyone steals everyone's gimmick in wrestling. That's what wrestling is mostly. There's so many people who hits the same moves. They just call it their own. You know, how many times a diamond cutter from DDP? I mean, you could go on and on with different cut with different moves. DDT, you could go on with every different moves from different wrestlers that are used. Not one person is usually their trademark specialty, except for the End of Days. The End of Days is one of the few moves that only you see Corbin pretty much executed. But my point is, Braun looked phenomenal. Whereas the timer is running down, under 4 minutes left to everyone has three pins apiece. The one with no pins whatsoever, it is Trick Williams. Trick Williams in a Hail Mary situation gets not just three, he gets four pins right as the time is about to expire. And Trick Williams whips the Tricks and he gets the iron, becomes the Iron Survivor Challenge winner. And I know a lot of people said that was kind of eh. Why Trick at the last second? No, ladies and gentlemen. The right person, be honest with you, went over. The crowd in Connecticut was on their feet cheering for Trick Williams. Everyone was excited. I know people on Twitter were upset saying that WWE is burying Trick Williams. Did not know that Trick was going to get the four necessary pins to win the Iron Survivor. Now he gets it. He has a date with Ilya or Baron Corbin, depending who wins later on in the main event for the NXT title for New Year's Evil. So I love to see the moments there for Trick Williams. I also didn't want to leave out that Eddie Thorpe came out and he made an appearance. That was kind of weird. Thorpe, I know he has a bad blood with Dijak, cost Dijak a fall. He got pinned there by Trick, helped out there. It kind of felt weird why he came out for Eddie Thorpe, but there's a story to be told. There's a big bad bloodbath between Dijak and Eddie Thorpe that hasn't been finished. So I'm pretty sure that will probably be concluded on New Year's Evil in some form of a gimmick match. We already had a gimmick match there. I would like to see them settle their differences in a different manner in a steel cage. And speaking of steel cage, we have a steel cage match between Roxanne Perez and Kiana James. Before we get to the steel cage, of course, there's a lot of filler. You've seen a backstage where you see Briggs, very irate. You see him with Fallon Henley. And of course, they're showing that his partner, Jensen, don't worry, you guys fought well, and Briggs snaps at him. I don't know if they're teasing a breakup between those two former tag team, make them former tag team to go one-on-one with each other. Keep an eye on that going into 2024 story-wise line, that they might separate Briggs and Jensen breaking up. And also, if you missed it, before Metaphor comes out and taunts them and leads for a match coming up on Tuesday, a six-person match, Paul Ellering was in the background. So Paul Ellering was in the background watching this unfold as Briggs and Jensen walks and have that, and him snapping and getting short at Jensen. And Paul Ellering is watching, absorbing. So I don't know if he's going to get in the ears of Josh Briggs and cause a dissension, but keep an eye on Paul Ellering. Paul Ellering was a former wrestler, of the Legion of Doom and of the Authors of Pain. He was in attendance there. I know that Author of Pain signed with WWE. We have not seen when they're going to show up, but with Paul Ellering at NXT Deadline, maybe they're teasing something for this upcoming Tuesday to end the year, where we go, oh, there's a surprise. You never know there. So as we get that filler, the steel cage comes down. The steel cage comes down. Roxanne Perez taking on Kiana James in what is supposed to be a knockout steel cage match. Of course, these ladies cannot stand one another. We saw Roxanne cost Kiana the Deadline opportunity at the Iron Survivor. You see back and forth fighting in the locker room, in the out in the parking lot, and one way to settle it in a steel cage. I know a lot of people that hear and say that they were disappointed with this steel cage match. I'm not. I saw Kiana use the steel cage to throw Roxy against the cage back and forth. These ladies were not going to. Listen, if you were looking for a steel cage match of John Moxley, it wasn't going to happen. These ladies, they weren't going to put these ladies to expose to bleed. Although Kiana James did cut her elbow, was bleeding on her elbow. But these ladies worked a safe cage match. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron. They put on a good show. Pop Rocks, Roxanne came out with Pop Rocks out of nowhere, almost near for a finish. Kiana James, again, continues to be what a heel persona of the of a villain you want. Just totally gets under people's skin with her mannerisms and her in-ring. And she's getting better in-ring. I think Kiana James wouldn't be surprised by the end of 2024 gets an opportunity to be on the main roster. Of course, we know Roxanne. If you call her to SmackDown today, she's ready. But I think they'll leave her in NXT due to the fact that there's a logjam in the WWE women's division up in the main roster, because she's not, if she gets up there, she's going to get lost in the shuffle where they're not going to give her too much wrestling programs. She's going to be mostly catering, because right now the four horsewomen three of the four horsewomen are dominating the group with along with Damage Control. And there's not enough time in SmackDown, and in Raw, it's so top heavy with Becky, Rhea, with Nia, Zoe. There's a lot of, I know, and not for nothing, Roxanne could hold her own with all those ladies. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying she can't. She could hold her own and then some, but it's just too much of a logjam where she's still so young that there's time they could leave her there. I know it's not to her liking, and I get it if she gets frustrated, but she's just sit there, buy your time, because they're just, when you get called up, they're going to put the rocket pack on you, and you're just going to go. You know, they have a weapon in Roxanne Perez, personally, in NXT there. But before we get the survivor, the winner of the steel cage match, we see that Kiana James is trying to says, I had enough, I'm out. She, after getting bashed into the cage with Roxy just bringing it to her, she reaches for a chair and she gets the chair. Roxy takes the chair from her, and they're jostling back and forth. Out comes Izzy Dane, and similar to Terry Gordon on Von Erich, hits her with the cage, closes the cage door on her head, and the cold breaker done by Kiana James. Kiana James gets the victory, gets the win. Where they go from here, hopefully they settled it, although it doesn't seem like it, because Roxanne in a digital short, cuts a promo that she's turning, not turning heel. She's really pissed off, like mad, taking her to a level of dark. Maybe we're going to get a heel Roxanne in the NXT run, and they're going to keep her there. They want to see how she runs as a heel. We saw Braun run as a face, and then the crowd turned on him. Now Roxy's getting that same treatment in NXT on the Performance Center. Maybe they're going to tease her as a heel, run as a heel to see how that goes. And then if that goes extremely well, maybe the call up will call. I think that's the same thing that's happening with Braun. Is happening with Roxanne Perez, in my opinion. But I like the fact that Izzy Dame comes out and helps Kiana James here. Also, I left out the presentation of Kiana James. She comes out of the WWE headquarters into the suburban, gets driven to the arena, and then she just comes out. She just oozes confidence, money, and stardom by her entrance. Just remember, perception it takes me a reality, and she presents herself like she's a star, like a big deal. And that's why I enjoy what I see from Kiana James, her presentation. I wish Roxy, maybe the heel Roxy, would show that confidence, because Roxy comes out too nice, chasing the hug with the crowd in the NXT Performance Center. And I think the crowd gets a little like, ugh. And I think that's what happened with Braun, trying to chase the hug and the admiration of the PC, where they turn on him. And don't chase the hug for any of the NXT kids. They're it'll come naturally. Well, they'll give you the admiration. You know, I hate it because I love faces. I like the baby face. I'm a big baby face guy. I like the Braun's. I like the Cena's. I when he was a face, I like the Hogan when he was a face. You know, the Ricky Steamboat. I'm a big face guy. Junkyard Dog, that good nostalgia, you know, Too Cool, those type of deals. I like the baby face, that fun going and make every, you know, leave you in a good mood. You send home with a smile type of nostalgia wrestling fan. Not always the face, not always the heel, has to always come up on top, or like doom and gloom and haha. That's just me. Then we get the main event, the NXT champion, Ilya Dragunov, taking on Baron Corbin. This match, I'm going to say this here, and again, it's not to criticize the performers. I think Baron Corbin is a hell of a performer. I think Baron Corbin is so unappreciative when it comes to the WWE roster. I think Baron Corbin makes, and him in NXT has done wonders for the talent in NXT. That's a sponge that they could learn how to be a professional and a safe professional worker. Sell, register, and do all the things that a professional grade A main event superstar like Corbin has. Corbin's the last guy to pin Roman Reigns, get a three count on a one-on-one situation. Corbin is that type of former athlete, NFL star, who checks all the boxes there. I know people sometimes want to say go away heat from him, get away, leave, but Baron Corbin is that type of a really good wrestler. And his heel persona, phenomenal. But Ilya Dragunov, another one. What can we say about Ilya? Young up-and-comer, young wrestler. His matches with Gunther in the NXT UK, up the UK ranks. The crowd enjoys him in the PC. But these two, their reps, or I don't know if it was nerves, or lack of reps with one another, did not warrant to be the main event. I'm sorry. This was not warranted to be the main event, because they did not put on a main event type of quality match. Yes, Ilya told a story about getting hurt on his side, but Ilya looks like he's always hurt. And I know some people love his facial expressions, you know, but I think he overdoes it, holding his breath, turning pinkish, reddish. Looks like he's constipated, like he has to take a poop and he can't, and he's holding it in his matches, always in agonizing pain. And then the lack of I think it's a lack of no sell. They hit him with some moves and then he just bounces back and hits you over and over. I don't want to criticize Ilya Dragunov. It's not a criticism. I think he's a hell of a talent. For me, this title run with him, I'm not connected with it. It's just me. It's nothing with Drew. It's nothing personal with Ilya. I think he's a hell of a talent. But this title run has, to me, I've been very disconnected. I'm not feeling him as a champion, an NXT champion. And I know you guys disagree. You could disagree with me. That's what makes it phenomenal. That's what makes it great to have the debate about agreeing or disagreeing. You don't have to agree with everything, all my takes. And I won't like the vice versa. I don't agree with everyone else's takes as well. I just didn't like the match. I thought it was lack of chemistry. I think that spot with when I did the watch along, I saw here we go, him botching the powerbomb on Corbin. No, Corbin's a big guy. You're hurting on your sides. And you know what? I like the fact that he kind of botched that powerbomb. At first I didn't, but as I thought about it and I was reading, you know, and I actually wrote a blog on it, and I said, you know what? That's what you're supposed to do when you have hurt ribs. You put something believable into the match. You were hurt. You couldn't pick him up to do the slam. I like the fact, and I was hoping, please, don't let Corbin hit the end of days and you kick out. I know everyone likes the end of days to be protected, and only Drew kicked out of it. I just like, please do not let Ilya kick out of it, because I'm going to roll my eyes. And I already have a stigma that he doesn't sell. And then you put that end of days and he kicks out. But no, I love the fact that Corbin countered the Torpedo Moscow with a deep six. And then he kicked out. And I was like, ooh, he kicked out. That's why I was worried about thinking that he was going to win. Kick out of the end of days when he kicked out of the deep six, and then the Mad Dragon did an inverted fireman's carry into a brain buster and he almost had the near fall there. That move I really liked. I was very impressed on that there, with that move from Ilya. But then Ilya gets the win. He gave me a little weird vibe. He gives Corbin a hug, then of course he nails him. The Moscow Mule gets the pin, but also I got to give Ilya credit, that coast to coast that he did. I know it kind of weird. He threw him a kiss and he hit him with a coast to coast. That was a nice spot. I got to give it to him. Listen, there was some good spots in the match. Yes. I'm not going to say it was a terrible match, but it wasn't main event worthy. It wasn't to close the show. I would have liked that to be the Men's Iron Survivor Challenge to be the close, especially if they were going to have Trick go over. Because Ilya wins the match, out comes Trick Williams, and right behind him is Carmelo Hayes, and the WWE cuts the feed. They didn't even let that marinate where you know, there was still five, and I got pissed off, bothered, because there was still 5 minutes left to 11 o'clock at night. You're on a premium live event anyway. You're on a streaming platform. You cut Punk's promo early. Or you put the music up like it was the Oscars, and then you cut and you left 5 minutes on the board on the premium live event, you know, one way, and there is no more premium live event until February. I know New Year's Eve was a TV special, but what you needed to do is have Trick Williams get in the ring face to face with Ilya Dragunov, and then Melo lurking in the back with either facial expressions like, I can't believe that this dude is getting this championship match. Then you go off the air. That should have been your lasting image of that premium live event. What sets up, because now guess what? Now you want to tune into New Year's Eve to see that title match and Melo's face of deception. You know, we already heard Lexi King not say that it was not him, so that's still in play. But the way I thought the WWE feed or production crew was really bad. I also didn't mention when they lowered the steel cage, you hear a squeaking sound. It was something that it wasn't a normal WWE production. Usually they dot the I's, cross the T's, and they're phenomenal. A lot, you know, and there was a lot of in-ad commercials. Like they were stalling, and then the way they came back from the in-ad commercials was kind of weird. They come in and they were just not like nothing, like, oh, we're live. And it might have been an intern or a person getting his first opportunity at a live event, and it, maybe there was some nerves. It showed. I mean, but all in all, it didn't take away from my enjoyment of Deadline. Not one bit. This premium live event was fun. The Iron Survivor men and women were awesome. The North American title match was phenomenal. Was great. I wish the tag team titles were defended. We would have seen at least the title, at least for the last premium live event. But you know what? Sometimes quality over quantity it's what resonates here. I thought everything was really good. The steel cage match, I thought it was great. I didn't, other than I guess you wanted to see cut blood, maybe a kendo stick. But on that, you did have a chair that resulted in the cold breaker in the result of the match. So you can't ask for too much there with the two ladies. You want to have the two ladies safe, too. These are two young ladies that you don't want them to go out there and disfigure themselves for. And, you know, it was a steel cage. Hopefully that feud stops there. You have some Easter eggs in the back, Paul Ellering. You'd see the now set up a match with Metaphor versus Briggs and Jensen and Fallon Henley. Of course, you'd see all different things back and forth. Cora Jade. Of course, we saw in a digital exclusive, Kelly tries to interview her again. CM Punk comes out, says he's proud of her. They embrace that hug. I've always said it. I think I wouldn't be surprised if CM Punk makes a stable or fashion where Cora Jade is part of it. Maybe AJ Lee returns. Braun Breaker gets elevated to Raw along with Punk as a enforcer. Takes Breaker under his wing, helps him cut promos, helps him get over. Then Braun turns on Punk. Punk goes on a baby face run or a tween run, whatever the case is, or a heel run and whatever the back and forth, whatever it is. I think that you could tell that maybe next year around this time or even in the Rumble type area, you could tease that. Let them go on, let them work under Punk for about a year if Punk behaves. I could see that, and that's just my opinion. But all in all, I really enjoyed Deadline. Of course, those are the minor little details. I'm not going to let those minor production flaws ruin a good night of wrestling. This was a hell of a great night. All those young men and women from the WWE, NXT, bravo. You guys close out the year phenomenal. You guys are getting greater and greater year after year. It's a pleasure going to the NXT Performance Center on Tuesday nights to see you guys wrestle. The hard work that you young men and women put, it shows week after week, and continue striving, continue listening to your coaches, your producers there, because they are steering you in the right direction, and you're making NXT not just a developmental brand, but a third brand in a big WWE universe, in a wrestling universe where people gonna want to watch even more NXT. Now that you guys are going to the CW next fall, you guys are gonna kill it. You guys are gonna kill it. The fans are even gonna grow more, and people are gonna know all you young men and women that are in NXT, and even the young talent from the NLIA that's going to soon make their wrestling debuts. You got a good platform because these men and women are pioneers to building something great, and not just the 2.0 kids, also the black and gold guys. You know, we see them now in the main event, or we see them in the main roster. Phenomenal job. Whoever had that vision of the NXT brand to do the NXT developmental from FWC to NXT, bravo. You guys are doing, that was a smart move. You keep it in-house. You don't have to overpay for talent or prima donnas. If they go, and you just bring up a young kid who's hungry. And you, and the hard work of the men and women in NXT. That's why I'm a big fan of NXT. With that said, we saw over the weekend, Charlotte Flair had a mishap on the rope on a springboard. It wasn't on the moonsault. Maybe, although they say it might have been on the moonsault, there was a spot on the commercial break where Oscar was going to go for a flex and her knee hit on the rope. And you see her utterly in pain. Crap. I think my knee hurt. My knee. And you saw her grimacing and holding in pain. And she goes, and looked like she wanted to cry in agony of disappointment. She goes, not good. Hopefully, Charlotte, the news aren't that you could return sooner than later. Hopefully, it's not an MCL, LCL, something where it's just you out for 4 weeks and back by the Rumble, hopefully. Fingers crossed on that. Also, Shawn Michaels announced last night that Carmelo Hayes will be entering the United States tournament as the NXT representative. Kudos to Mr. Carmelo Hayes. Has an opportunity now. He's going to take on Grayson Waller on Friday Night SmackDown edition on the tournament. Ooh, they're going to run that back. And they're going to put this on live TV where the world could see Carmelo Hayes make his SmackDown debut. We already saw him on Raw, but his SmackDown debut against Grayson Waller. Go get him, Melo. Melo, don't miss. Go get him, young man. Yes, let's go. Go get that United States title. Get to that final. Bring that United States title back to NXT and all that. You know what? That's a nice piece of gold for you to get on the main roster. Go get it, Melo. You got a fan here. Always have a fan behind you. Making sure that you get that, man. Rooting for you. Other than that, I don't see. Well, of course, you knew about that TNA and WWE have a, well, not WWE, WWE's parent company, Endeavor, has a working agreement where now they're going to be streaming in the Endeavor platform coming in the new year, January 5th. TNA in TNA changed its name from Impact to TNA, and now they're going to be working with the WWE. That is phenomenal. Talk about a forbidden door. With all the different possibilities where talent now, I guess Chris the Flash, one of my guys on the channel, the Heel Ring Podcast crew, said, you know what? That's going to open the door of Trinity, aka Naomi, to be a one-off entry at the Royal Rumble. The way Mickey James came out with her title, you could see now Trinity making a one-off at the Royal Rumble. Welcome back. Who would have thought Trinity was end up back at the WWE before Naomi? Maybe for Sasha Banks, excuse me. You never know. You know, maybe they both come back on the Royal Rumble. You never know, because there's a lot of rumors that Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, Mercedes Bernardo, rumored to be heading back to the WWE or trying to work things out. Triple H, all I got to say is Triple H, go get our girl, man. Go get our girl. Bring the horsewoman back home where she belongs. Let her come here with the other horsewoman. There is a major storyline that she could be implicated immediately. And even after that storyline finishes, there is a storm brewing waiting for Mercedes Mercado or Sasha Banks that we would love to see as well. And also Bianca Belair, you know, talk about history there. You know, we saw that when Bianca and Sasha headlined that WrestleMania, when you had Bianca with tears. Just think of all three of those ladies in the ring in a triple threat match. I'm all for it. So this is the Heel in the Ring podcast. We will be doing join us for Monday Night Raw watch-alongs. We do all the wrestling watch-alongs. And, of course, we ask you to subscribe to our channel. If you ain't down with us, we got two words for you. Just subscribe, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Heel in the Ring. I am your host, BX Sports Jedi Kev, and I say thank you. We'll see you next time.
I'm awesome! You people!
Gets so mad, there's no control.
Ladies and gentlemen, just in case you live under a rock,
I might grab a bat, I don't know, my rap, my blood boils over like, oh God, here goes. I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said some shit that I can't let go, so just stay tuned for the rest of the show.